If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you know your music, you'll know who that is. Lauryn Hill.
The one and only. And let me tell you, when I heard that album for the first time, my mind was blown. It is probably one of the cornerstone albums in music history. Hmm. It's just like from beginning to end, just an exceptional album. Lauryn Hill is a genius. And I mean, she only has released four albums in her entire career. Two with the Fugees and then two solo. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill being one, and the other one was the MTV Unplugged album, which, although it was a live album, it contained all original compositions, so it was all new songs on it. And since then, she's been like a peripheral figure in the music industry, doing shows and stuff, but hasn't really released any substantial work since then. But the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is an exceptional album. It is today still the biggest selling album by a hip-hop female artist.
Wow.
And it's the biggest selling neoclassical soul album in music history, 20 million units.
So people are wondering, who's that talking, Dr. Shelton?
Yes.
Rochelle Neal, musicologist. And what are we celebrating today?
So well, actually, the whole idea behind today's show is that the producer, Thando Kutle, is having a baby soon. And this was supposed to be like a surprise baby shower. The surprise is that she's not here. And so all the songs today have to do with family ties. Mm. And also ties in with Easter and new birth and people getting together and being with their families. So it's all about celebrating families.
Celebrating family. That's what we're going to be doing today. And so what a wonderful way to start Lauryn Hill to Zion.
Yeah.
And you had to have Stevie Wonder on this playlist.
Of course. Well, Stevie Wonder. Well, To Zion is about Lauryn Hill's son, Zion, who she had with Rohan Marley, who's a football player, a Canadian football player. And they had, well, she's got six children altogether.
Yes.
But five of them are with Rohan Marley, who's the son of Bob Marley. And so she's got this massive pedigree. They were never married to each other. And she wrote the song because she wanted to celebrate, like, the fact that she had him in 1997, and it was between The Score, which was the Fugees album, which was critically acclaimed.
It was amazing.
A brilliant album.
Amazing album, yeah.
And it was between that album and The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. So the child was born between both, and people were like, you can't have a child now. This is going
you're
to
right
prejudice
at the peak
you,
of your career.
Your career, you're going to prejudice your career.
And you're young, like, you're fresh, yeah, you're talented.
Like, I'm not having an abortion.
Yeah,
I'm having this child, and this is it is what it is, and we'll see it through. So that's what To Zion is about. And then a year later, 1999, so she won five Grammy awards and had 10 Grammy nominations, and she won Album of the Year, which is, you know, our
the
sister,
big one. Yeah.
Yeah, the big one that, you know, that Beyonce has been chasing for years.
Yes.
So she's like, her first time out, she got Album of the Year. And so it is a huge, I mean, this album is iconic. And the year later, she did a duet with Bob Marley on an album called Chant Down Babylon, a song called Turn the Lights Down Low, which is an iconic song as well. And basically to honor her father-in-law, you know. So the next song is
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder. And Stevie Wonder is like, if I'm sad, if I'm having a really bad day, I turn on Stevie Wonder. Because the man can paint with words. Like when you hear him speaking, it's like, oh my goodness, this guy, he's able to encapsulate in words what you can only imagine. And I guess it's because he's blind, so he's had to like develop that skill of being able to paint with words. And this is from another iconic album in music history, Songs in the Key of Life, which was released in 1976. And I remember, like, people always talking about Songs in the Key of Life and how instrumental it was and how it shifted so many people's lives and musicians and how it shifted, altered the course of many musicians' careers. I was like, eh, it can't be that great. Anyway, I went to the record store and I asked them to, you know, back in the old days, you go to the guy at the counter and you'd say, please, can you play this for me? And then you'd put it on and then you put the headphones on and then you listen. And
that's the one.
Yeah. And then the first song on the album is Love's in Need of Love Today. And I was like, just put that in the bag. I'm buying it right now because it's such a brilliant song. And that album is exceptional. And the song that we've selected is a song called Isn't She Lovely?
Kaya Talk.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
That is iconic. That's how you finish the song.
That song, oh my gosh. When I heard it for the first time, I just was like so emotional because it's Stevie Wonder celebrating his daughter, Aisha Morris. She had just been born. He had just had quite a tumultuous thing with Motown going on at the time because he had left Motown. He'd been with Motown since he was 13 and he was now over 21. And he had like he felt that they weren't giving him the creative freedom, etc. And he left Motown. And then this was, he had in 1975, he signed this mega deal. He actually wanted to leave music altogether. He was going to move to Ghana and help children. That's what he wanted to do. Mm. He didn't want to be in music anymore. And between 1973 and 1976, he won 12 Grammy Awards, three of them Album of the Year. He's got the record. Well, he had the record till this year for the most Album of the Year wins in history, which was tied with him, Frank Sinatra and Paul Simon, and then Taylor Swift took a fourth this year, so she's now got the record, and they in second place. But Stevie Wonder, in that period of time, 12 Grammy Awards, he got 4 Grammy Awards for this album, and Isn't She Lovely is just like, you can hear the baby being born at the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, that's actually Aisha.
Yes.
He's got 9 children, hey?
Yes.
So, Lauryn Hill, 6... Stevie Wonder, 9 children. And this, the mother of this child is someone who came in for an interview at his publishing company, who then landed up becoming his baby mama. They never even got married. Anyway, so he said that Aisha was this person who changed his life at a moment, it's his second child, at a moment that he really needed this like flip in his life, and she gave him a whole new lease on life. And I guess that's what today was all about. Tando Kutle and having a baby, and it's her second one, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, this child's probably going to change her life forever.
Yeah.
Every child does.
Yeah.
And we wanted to celebrate her, and so all the songs were chosen with her in mind.
Aww. I'm sure she's listening.
All right, so our
next song is by Boyz II Men.
Yes. So this song is from Boyz II Men's fourth album called Evolution. Yeah. And the album, for all intents and purposes, was a big failure, actually, because the first two albums, Coolie High Harmony and Two, were mega sellers. They were like big,
massive,
iconic albums. End of the Road was from that.
Album was this one?
This is the
Boyz II Men
is called Evolution.
It's the fourth
album. There was a Christmas album between the third and the fourth.
Yep.
And so this album was iconic, not as iconic as the previous ones, although it did pretty well. It sold 2 million units, but compared to like 9 million of Coolie High Harmony and 12 million of Two, this album paled in comparison, but it had this song, which is called A Song for Mama, which was written by Babyface. And Babyface is one of my favorite producers of all time. He's just got like, and I think he's a vampire, because I don't know if you've seen him recently.
He hasn't aged one bit.
Not at all. Yeah. He looks exactly the same. So whoever his Botox guy is, send us the number.
They're doing well.
But he looks exactly the same as he did in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he wrote the song, and you can hear Babyface all over this track. It's like a signature Babyface track. And this was when all 4 of the Boyz II Men were still in Boyz II Men. Now it's just 3 guys.
Yeah.
And it's an exceptional moment song. And this is the song that everyone plays for Mother's Day.
Point of View.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
We are having a special Family Ties, and this particular feature today is dedicated to Tando Kutle.
Yes.
Who is our super duper producer.
Yeah.
Everybody who's on this show has got to go through Tando, otherwise.
She's the gatekeeper.
She She is the gatekeeper. She is the king. She is
she's the queen.
Principal.
She's everyone. She's everyone.
Yeah. She is the one that makes
the headmistress.
She's the headmistress. She makes sure things happen. And if Thando says it doesn't happen, it does not happen.
Exactly.
So we. This is.
She's cut many of my songs.
So this is in honor of Thando and her wonderful family, and we are calling this Family Ties. So our next song, Will Smith.
Oh, this song. I'm such a sucker. When I hear a good song, it's me crying and in tears. So when I first heard the song, it was Grover Washington and Bill Withers. Bill Withers is one of my favorite artists. The thing with him is that he started his career much later in life. Yes. He was originally in the army, and then he left the army, and then he explored this music thing, and then he was hot for a hot minute and then disappeared and then was not in the music business anymore. But this was one of the songs that he did. It was originally supposed to be an instrumental song, mm-hmm. but then he added lyrics to it, and then it became the song that we know today. The original went to number 2 in 1981 and in the United States, and landed up winning the Best R&B Song Grammy Award in 1982. And then in 1998, the song was featured on a movie called Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Mm-hmm. And Will Smith changed up the lyrics so that it was like a dedication to his son. Mm-hmm. So a guy called Trey, the oldest son. Mm-hmm. And in the music video, it's Will Smith, Trey, the young son. He must have been under 10 years mm-hmm. old. And then Jada Pinkett Smith, who was pregnant.
Yes, with, I remember that.
Jaden mm-hmm. Smith at the time. So it was like this whole dedication to the family. And I just thought it was so beautiful that a dad mm-hmm. would be like, you know, saying, you know, I love you so much, and then doing it in song, and then the music video. It just was so emotional for me, although I don't think Will Smith is the best vocalist ever or the best rapper ever, but it was just like it hit the right notes.
That video was gorgeous, though.
Yeah,
the video
beautiful.
Was gorgeous.
And I felt like, although I really enjoy the original, I just think Will Smith's version is just so sincere.
Cool.
And it's actually so... Like, you think about this whole thing that's going on with Jada and him and the whole relationship.
Ish.
And the thing is that Will Smith is a big family guy. So the family and being close to the family is such an important thing to him. And you can hear it in the song that it's just coming from a sincere place.
Point of View.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Lovely, lovely song. Hey?
Beautiful. And absolutely such a sincere rap.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Okay, so it's very rare for us to have a compilation and Whitney Houston is not in it.
Because we
it's
love
like the voice. The voice.
Yeah.
So we have Whitney Houston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we also have somebody else.
Yeah, Sissy Houston. So Sissy Houston is Whitney Houston's mother. She's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And Sissy Houston, she was like, I think the thing with Sissy is that she never quite made it on her own. She was a gospel singer, and I read a book about Whitney and the whole spiel. And the whole thing with Sissy is that she was always going up against the big divas, Dionne Warwick, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, and no one was willing to give her a chance.
Mm.
And so she remained just a gospel singer the whole time. She was actually Elvis Presley's backing vocalist in the 1970s. She was part of this band called the Sweet Inspirations, and they were the backing vocalists for Elvis Presley.
Mm.
So that's as close as she got to fame. And so when Whitney Houston came on the scene, she completely blew everyone out of the water. I mean, people could not deny the fact that this woman was an exceptional talent.
Yeah.
And so this was... So on the second album called Whitney, Whitney Houston had... Most of her albums were named after herself.
Yes.
Like her first album was Whitney Houston. The second album was Whitney.
Yeah.
And then she had an album called Just Whitney.
Yeah.
I mean, she loved naming albums after herself. But anyway, so this was from the second album called Whitney.
Mm.
And it was the last track on the album.
Mm.
And the song is called I Know Him So Well.
Mm.
But the original was from a musical called Chess, which was written by Sir Tim Rice, Bjorn Ulvaeus, and Benny Anderson. And they are the two guys from ABBA. And they wrote this musical called Chess with Sir Tim Rice. And this was one of the songs in the musical. But the version that is done on the second Whitney Houston album has been sort of reinterpreted, like with the Will Smith song just before that, where he sort of reorientates the narrative so that it's about a child, just the two of us. In this instance, they've done it like a gospel song, mm-hmm. where I Know Him So Well is about God, Jesus, yes. and God and all of that stuff. And the sad thing about it is I don't think Whitney was ever appreciated by her mother in all the years. In an Oprah interview where they were speaking about Whitney Houston and whether she was a lesbian or not, the mother said, I would have never accepted her if I knew that she was a lesbian.
I mean, that's partly that whole conspiracy around her relationship
with Robin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the reason she kept it so secret for so long is because she knew her mother was never going to tolerate
that. Exactly. How sad is that?
And the conspiracy is that that possibly was the love of her life.
Yeah. Yeah. That she had to let go. Mm. But Sissy didn't like Bobby Brown either.
Yes.
So either way, she didn't like either one of the partners.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a very sad indictment. And I think maybe if Whitney, if she really was a lesbian, had been accepted by her mother, maybe she would still be with us today.
Okay, I don't know if that's a nice ending.
But the song is amazing.
yeah, it's a good song.
It's a great song. The combination of the two voices is off the charts. When I heard this album for the first time and I came to this track, which is the last track on the album, my mind was blown.
Well, thank you so much, Sheldon.
Thank you very much.
Have yourself a fantastic Easter weekend.
And everyone in Kaya Land, have a lovely Easter.
Yes, everybody. Have yourself a fantastic, wonderful Easter.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.